Certain moments in all of our lives, we'll peg them as milestones. And a lot of times those milestones are marked by birthdays. Parents may rejoice when their children leave the terrible T's. That would be twos and threes. And then they graduate into the fearsome fours and fives. Sweet 16 may bring a driver's license. Other years that you may think of serve as milestones. 40 is often a big milestone. We think of 40. When I was approaching 40, I made a goal, set a goal that I would run a marathon by the time I was 40, and I did, badly, slowly. Dave Barry wrote a book, one of the funniest books I've ever read in my life. Dave Barry Turns 40. If you haven't read it, read it. Turning 30 is also significant. There's an old Jewish tradition that you can read the Old Testament Song of Solomon when you turn 30 and not a day before. Bill Gates marked the age 30 by earning $234 million that year. The average retirement age for an NFL football player from the game is 30. If you're 31 or 32 in the NFL, you're old. This morning our church turns 30, so what does the church do to celebrate, observe 30 years? Well, we're going to have breakfast taco brunch. That's what we're going to do. And we're also going to take a few minutes to look in the rearview mirror and reflect a little bit on what God has done in our church over the past 30 years. And yes, I have been the pastor at Northwest for all 30 years. I began pastoring when I was 12, and it's just been a great, great ride. But always, when you want to go somewhere, you should spend more time looking out the windshield than in the rearview mirror, or you'll get yourself in big trouble. So we're going to spend a couple of minutes talking about what God has done in the past, and much more time thinking about what God might have in store for us in the future. So we mark the formal beginning of the Northwest Community Church story on the first Sunday of June, 1982, when the entire congregation, about a dozen, met in the arts and crafts room of the YMCA that was on Wurzbach Road. The Lord brought a church together over that first summer. A few hearty souls decided that they would join ranks with us, and we saw the Lord begin to gel a church. We moved from the Y to the Scenic Hills Seventh-day Adventist Church on Bandera Road, where we met for the next 10 years and grew and matured. And the Lord did a lot of things during those 10 years. And then in 1991, we moved to our current church facility. Perceptions, everything. Okay, so... we moved into 8900 Gilbo. It was an empty shell at that time. We finished it out bit by bit over the years. Over the years, we've added staff. We've added worship services. At one point, we bought 2 acres. Then we sold those 2 acres and then bought 12 more. We supported missionaries almost from the very beginning. We have sought to serve our community through basketball camps, vacation Bible schools, groceries, and lots more. Over the years, there have been weddings and dedications and healings and souls saved and lives changed, broken lives restored. Along the way, there have been our share of funerals, and there have been divorces. There have been sometimes some kind of serious squabbles to go along with the victories and the triumphs. It's been 30 years of L-I-F-E life. The whole broad spectrum of life, what you would expect to experience when you live with people and share Jesus with people. Been a very, very rich, wonderful 30 years. Now, I'm not going to spend these 30 minutes tearfully walking down memory lane with you. No Kleenex required. Spirit of this day is joy. I am filled with gratitude to God today for all that He's done. And the verses that come to my mind as I think and we reflect back for just a couple of minutes is Lamentations 3. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. And it's been God's grace, God's faithfulness that has fed us, sustained us every step of the way. To God be the glory. Now, the last couple of years here at Northwest have been filled with kind of normal ministry as we've known it. Some ministry initiatives, some new things started, missions trips, worship, nurturing community, and a lot of thinking together as a congregation about what God might have in store for us in the next chapter of our church's life. After a lot of discussion and thought and prayer, we re-arrived at a mission statement that has continued. It's actually been in place for a long time with a little tweaking. It continues to capture the heart of our church, and that mission statement is, having tasted God's amazing grace through faith in Jesus Christ, we passionately pursue life-changing relationships with God, with each other, and with our world. The statement addresses the three most famous statements of Jesus. They're so famous, they're named. There's the great commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. There's the new commandment, love each other the way I loved you. There's the great commission, make disciples of all the nations. So that statement encapsulizes and addresses all three of those statements. We've also given a lot of time, especially recently, to clarifying some values that we hold very dear, that we cherish and cling to at our church. And I have had, just so you'll know, I've had an absolute blast in the last 6 weeks bringing messages that deal with the six values that we have outlined that we hold to. Loving and living the Bible, bringing our friends to Jesus, generous living and giving, building faith at home, masks off, relating, and dependence on God. Those are the to die fors at our church. Those are the things that get me out of bed in the morning. So I'm very grateful to God for what He's done in the past, really excited about this current season when we've been rethinking purpose and mission and what does God uniquely have for us to do. But I'm even more excited about what I hope God has in store for us in chapter next, years 31 and following. And to orient us to that chapter next, I want to introduce you to one of my heroes from the New Testament. We read about this hero near the end of Colossians chapter 4. He's actually only mentioned twice in the whole New Testament. At the end of a lot of Paul's letters, he wrote greetings and salutations and sent messages back and forth to people, you know, from people that he's writing, sitting with as he writes the letter, and then greet these people. He sent one message, highly individualized message, to a fella in the city of Colossae, Archippus. Say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. Now, that other reference to Archippus is in the short note Paul wrote to his friend Philemon, and Archippus is mentioned as our fellow soldier. So we know that Archippus was a solid Christ follower, and he lived in Colossae. Besides that, we really don't know very much about Archippus. One commentator suggests that he might have been Philemon's son, but it's not in the Bible. Just a guess. Paul does make mention in Colossians 4, though, to Archippus having a ministry. So what was his ministry? Again, one of my commentaries suggests that he gave pastoral oversight to the church in Colossae, but it's nowhere in the verse. Another couple of scholars suggest he was an evangelist. But if you'll look at Colossians 4:17, it doesn't even give a hint of that. We have no idea what his ministry was. Could have been anything. The word that is used to describe his ministry is a very, very common word. It means service. You know, we think sometimes ministry, we think stained glass. It's not a stained glass word. There's nothing liturgical about the word ministry or service here. It could refer to preaching and teaching. It might refer to table serving, floor sweeping, administering the sacraments. It could be anything. We just don't know. I'm sure Archippus knew exactly what Paul was talking about, but readers from the first century on haven't had a clue. So, again, we don't know. Paul says, Take heed to the ministry you've received from the Lord that you may fulfill it. What's the spirit of those words? Was he saying, come on, Archippus, let's get with it, fulfill your ministry? Was he scolding him? Come on, man, get after it. Start fulfilling your ministry. Or was it an affirmation? You've got this wonderful ministry. I'm honoring you, Archippus, because God has given you this wonderful ministry. We don't know. I'm perfectly happy saying, I don't know. I'm a little comfortable with not knowing. One thing we do know, and that idea arises from this one verse. We know that Archippus had a ministry, and everything else I'm going to say this morning arises from that one idea. In fact, my hopes for a more God-honoring, more kingdom of God-centered, more impactful future for our church hinges on the one idea that comes out of Colossians 4:17, and it is this. If Archippus, a man barely mentioned in the New Testament, just kind of a passing reference to Archippus, had been given a ministry by God that he was to fulfill, then it follows that every believer in Jesus Christ has been given a ministry from God, and they are to be careful to fulfill it. That includes me, and that includes every one of you. Now, the time we have remaining this morning, I want to develop two kind of big ideas. Both of them arise from Scripture. Both of them have to do with you and your ministry. And I don't feel like I have to get it all said today, because I'm going to keep on the same theme maybe for the next week or two. But first, I want to give you a thought about destinations. Okay, so we probably would agree that it is a good thing to come to church. It's a good thing to get someone to come to church. I'm personally glad you're here. And if you brought a friend this morning, I'm glad that you and your friend are both here. But I want to say as clearly as I can that coming to church is not Great Commission accomplished. After a season of being in the church, it is my hope that you are growing in your experience of community, that you're growing as a worshiping disciple. But it is not a win if you are simply attending church, growing in your experience of community, and growing as a worshiping disciple. It's not a kingdom win outside of ministry output. That's when it's a kingdom win. The church is not a final destination. Church is a community in which you become involved and start to grow towards maturity, but it is to be a launch pad into ministry. Everyone, no exceptions, no sideline sitters, everyone is to be at maximum for the Great Commission. Now, Ephesians 4, where we'll spend a good bit more time next Sunday, tells us that the ministry belongs to every believer in Jesus. God gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, or literally, ministry. Some of you who are here today will hear those words, and you will mostly fulfill your ministry within the confines of the church structure. And if so, that's great. By your ministry here at the church, you're going to bless lots and lots of people. But here's the thing, and this is really important. If all we aim for is to have every ministry slot filled in our church, that is never going to reach the world for Christ. And if our only aim is to see to it that every ministry slot in our church is filled, there's still going to be all kinds of people who are in our church who are not fully deployed and not engaged in ministry. So some of you will fulfill your ministry here in the church, and many of you will fulfill your ministry outside the church structure. Those who are fulfilling their ministry within the church are serving people who are here. Those who are fulfilling their ministry outside the church structure are ministering to people who are not here and may never come here. And that's okay. That is A-okay. Now, at a couple of points, I'm going to stop and say, this is really important. What I'm about to say is really important. Our assignment from God as a church is not to grow the church. Based on a lot of seminars around the country, that is heresy, but it's true. If you read Matthew 16 very carefully, Jesus is very clear, I will build my church. That's his job. It is not our job to grow a church. Our job is to be salt and light for God. Our job is to infiltrate and permeate and impact a community like leaven in a lump of dough for Jesus Christ. That's our assignment. Our church, and I love our church, I'm the pastor of our church. Our church is not the thing. Our church and any church is a tool God is pleased to use to advance the kingdom. And the advance of the kingdom is more important than the growth of any church. That's a thought about destination. The church is not a destination. The church is a launch pad into ministry. Now, I want to say something about identity. Find words about your identity as a Christ follower in 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter writes, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Now, there's a few verses kind of like that scattered around the New Testament. And out of this verse and those other verses arose the Reformation doctrine of the priesthood of all believers. It's a very important, one of the foundation pillars of the Protestant Reformation, that every believer is a priest to God. And when we say, when we make reference to the priesthood of all believers, we mean that every Christian, because the Holy Spirit resides inside, is gifted to understand the truths of Scripture without the authority of the church telling you what the Bible teaches. You open the Bible and you understand it. The priesthood of the believer also means that we pray directly to God. No human intermediary to stand between us and God. We pray directly to God, and the priesthood of the believer means that every Christian has received a ministry, a calling from God. The idea of the priesthood of the believer comes straight from Scripture. It is true that I have been called to a ministry. I want to be careful to say not to the ministry, but I've been called to a ministry, and I'm fulfilling my calling to a pastoral ministry. But you have been called to a ministry as well. There's nothing more thrilling in life than to be serving God in an area of giftedness and passion. There is nothing more thrilling in life than to have the sense that you are partnering with God up close and personal to advance his kingdom. And it is God's will for you to be fully employed in mission. Kingdom-centered, Great Commission, mission. In Christ, there are no mission nobodies. In Christ, everybody is a mission somebody. As we move forward into the next chapter of our church's life, I believe the Apostle Paul would write to every one of us, all of us, take heed to the ministry which you have received from the Lord, that you may fulfill it. Now, what does that mean? What might that look like? Try this. You've trusted Christ for salvation. You are a priest to God. Holy Spirit resides within. You have been given a ministry, so you must stay very sensitive to your own service passions. You must stay very sensitive to the stirrings of your own heart for service and to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. So that when you sense the promptings, the nudgings of the Holy Spirit and the stirring of your own service passions to serve in a certain way, serve. Go for it. Service could be centered around ministries within the church, and that would be wonderful. There's all kinds of ways for you to serve within the structure of the local church. Of our church, could be a Sunday school teacher, nursery worker. You could be involved in the praise team, youth ministry, care group leader. A dozen other ways to serve. It could be there are opportunities for ministering to children, youth, and adults here. It could be that you would find your ministry's sweet spot here within the structure of the church. And we want to make you aware of all the ways there are to serve within the church. It's a great thing. But it's possible that your service might take you outside the church structure. And the form that ministry might take would be, it might look like serving people within your sphere of influence, your loved ones, family, friends, co-workers, neighbors. It is kingdom of God-sized ministry to take a meal to a new neighbor in Jesus' name. It is kingdom of God-sized ministry to visit a friend, co-worker in the hospital in Jesus' name. It is kingdom of God-sized ministry to direct a friend to Jesus or to encourage a discouraged friend in Jesus' name. Kingdom of God-sized ministry doesn't have to be grandiose, doesn't have to be flashy, behind the scenes, under the radar service. It all's good. It's all advancing the kingdom of God. It may be that you will discover a ministry here in town that is already up and running, already existing, and you would like to plug in there. Over the years, lots and lots of people from Northwest have served with Leroy Jacobson's Youth for Christ Campus Life Ministry, serving teens, middle schoolers and high schoolers and their parents. Or lots of people in our church have worked with crisis pregnancy centers. Lots of people in our church over the years have worked at military bases, assisting chaplains and helping with chapel services, discipling servicemen and servicewomen. Moving forward, one of the things we want to do here at our church is to maintain a list of ministries we're aware of that are impacting our community for Christ. Just letting you know, hey, if this stirs your heart, you can serve there. You might choose to jump on board with a ministry that's already up and running. Or the Lord might put it on your heart to initiate something brand new. It's possible that God might put it on your heart, nobody's doing this, but I want to see this done. I know. I'd like to start this. It's happened before. And just a couple of quick stories. back in 2006, January 15th to be precise, we conducted an experiment here we called Kingdom Assignments. Now, we didn't make up the name. It was actually kind of a movement that was sweeping the nation, and we just got on the bandwagon, and we conducted our own kingdom assignment. On a Sunday morning, I stood up here, and I told everybody in the church that we were looking for, out of the worship services on that day, 36 people to come to the front to receive a kingdom assignment. And I waited for as long as it took for the appropriate number of people per worship service to come to the front. Didn't take that long. But as people made their way to the front, nobody had a clue as to what they were going to be asked to do. So there were some nervous looks on the faces of some people as they came forward. And 36 people did walk to the front, stood up on this platform, and looked out at the rest of the people who were here, waiting for their kingdom assignment. And the first thing we did with this whole line of people here is we handed every single one of them a crisp, brand new $100 bill. Yes, and they were shocked and said, wow, I've never come to church and gotten money. That's really cool. So they thought, this is really something. They didn't expect that at all. And then we were very clear, it's not your money. In fact, it wasn't the church's money. It was given expressly to fund the kingdom assignment concept. And the assignment was not from the elders. It was not from the church. Nobody said, and this is what we want you to do, this specific thing. No, we said, take this $100 bill and invest it wherever you want, wherever God puts on your heart, so that you can advance His kingdom outside the walls of this church. And they did. It was so cool to see the amazing creativity. Took that $100 and he went out and bought lunch food. Over a period of months, he bought lunch food every Saturday, made lunch for some homeless folks who lived under a bridge near downtown, and he fed them. And he actually kept on doing that for years after the kingdom assignment finished. Another lady had been really annoyed by some youth who congregated outside her neighborhood, in her neighborhood at a corner waiting for a bus stop every morning, and they were just making all kinds of trouble for all the neighbors. They were rowdy, they were not well behaved. So she took that $100 and she bought a bunch of groceries and ingredients for cookies and lemonade, and every morning she served those kids cookies and lemonade. Just loved them to death. Just overwhelmed them with love in Jesus' name. Cookies and punch. Cookies and lemonade. A bunch of people used their $100 to fund missions projects. We were, as we listened to the reports on the 90-day mark, we were amazed at the creativity within the hearts of people to use $100. It was seed money to advance the kingdom of God. Now, I could tell you stories like that for a long time. And next week, I'm probably going to tell more stories about Bread and Water and Westway and other ministry initiatives, both here in the church and in the community, where the kingdom has been advanced by you. But this is one thing I want you to hear loud and clear today. The ministry that you have received in the Lord is every bit as significant as anybody else's ministry you can think of. You are a 21st century Archippus. You have been gifted with ministry. You've been given a ministry that God wants you to perform, to fulfill. As we turn 30, I believe this, we may be entering into the season when we see more ministry mobilization than we've ever seen before. If you serve here at church, you're going to be resourced, trained, equipped, prayed for. If you serve in the community, you're going to be given dignity. Your ministry will be promoted. We're going to pray for you. That's where I see us going in year 31 following. That's what I believe from God is our chapter next. I can't wait. Father, thank you for your great love for us. Thank you that everyone here, all those who have put their faith in Jesus, have received a ministry from the Lord. Help us to be very careful to fulfill that ministry. Open our eyes. Open our hearts, Father. Help us to be sensitive to stirrings within our spirits. Help us be sensitive to the nudges and the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.